scriptures that we didn't read about the cup. So go to Isaiah 51.
Isaiah 51.
Right.
This was part of this, or this part of this Isaiah 51 was, is what's called the Seven of Consolation. Those are the scriptures that are read between the Fast of Ab and Rosh Hashanah. They're the scriptures that lead up to the birth of Christ, and they've been reading these ever since Ezra. So start in verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, and he that should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. Now, in other words, he's saying that people are afraid of these things. And then he said, but I am the Lord thy God that divideth the sea, whose waves roared. That the Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Now, you've got to know from this point forward in here that Zion is always and ever has been the new Jerusalem. There's a scripture in Isaiah 48 that says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery? The city of the great king. And so once man crucified the Son, and then the Zion on earth, which really never had any significance, it all translated to the New Jerusalem. And that's what all the New Testament scriptures say. But anyway, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk of the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunk, and this is the cup that we're talking about. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons she has brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction and famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord and rebuke of thy God. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Now, when you're drunk, but not with wine, you're drunk on the wine of Ephraim. And that's the wine of self-seeking. So the human race is drunk, but not with wine. It's drunk with the wine of self-seeking, just as all of us have been. Now this is the most important part. Thus saith the Lord thy God, and the God that pleadeth the cause of his people, Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury, and thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, Bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. And so the whole idea is, if you can hear this, if you've accepted your death, then you shall no more drink of the cup. You drank of enough of the cup to bring you to repentance. Okay? But all had to drink of the cup. That's what it says, what Jesus said when they wanted to drink of his cup and be baptized with his baptism. He said, You indeed shall drink of the cup, and you shall indeed be baptized with my baptism. His baptism that he's speaking of was the baptism of fire. And that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the baptism of passing through the fire in order to get into the New Jerusalem. Okay? All right, let's go to Jeremiah 25. Verse 15. We're still talking about the cup, or the constellation, the crater. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because are crazy. Because of the sword that I will send among them. Then I took the cup of the Lord's hand and made all nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit Jerusalem and the cities of Judah and the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants and his princes and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Aza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Sidon, and the kings of the isles that are beyond the sea. And anyway, it goes on, and he's saying, saying to Jeremiah is that by your word you will cause all nations to drink of that cup. Now, the problem is they won't repent, and so they'll have to drink of the entire cup. All right? Now, let's just look at one. Go to Jeremiah.
So that carries on 26, 27, 28 about the cup there, right?
It goes all the way to 38, but I don't want to go. Okay. I don't want to read the whole thing, because I'm lazy. All right, then go to Jeremiah 49. Just one verse, so I'm not going to read all these. You really should read from Jeremiah 49:7 all the way down to 22, but I'm just going to show you the cup in verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, they whose judgment was not to drink of the cup have assuredly drunken, and art thou he that shall altogether go unpunished? And thou shalt not go unpunished, but thou shalt surely drink of it. Now, who was the ones that were not to drink of the cup? This is important. First, they were the Jews. They weren't to drink of the cup. Now, it's the Christians who are not to drink of the cup, except the Christians that have had that have not accepted their death, they shall drink of the cup. Amen? Because those are the ones that have not picked up the cross. All right, now to Jeremiah 51. I just want you to see that this cup is throughout the scriptures. Now, this is the judgment on Babylon.
And what reference is that again right now? 51.
Isaiah 51.
Jeremiah.
I mean Jeremiah 51. Now, this is why it says over and over in the New Testament and in Revelation, come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. As long as you're still living in cause and effect, no matter how many times you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, no matter how many Bible studies you attend, as long as cause and effect is the basis of your life, you're still in Babylon. You're still wearing the Babylonian garment instead of the righteousness of Christ. Amen? Everybody understand that? All right. Well, let's just start verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up against Babylon and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about, against him that bendeth. Let the archer bend his bow against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare not ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts. For their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Now remember, what's the wine is the wine of self-seeking. And Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. That's what we'll get to when we get to Jerusalem. I mean to Revelation. But I can't overemphasize. There are two exoduses in the Bible. There's one from the world, and the world is the type of survival of the fittest. And there's another exodus from Babylon. And Babylon is cause and effect. And you must exodus both. The greatest enemy of faith after you leave the world is cause and effect. And the saddest part to me in all of Christianity in the modern church is they're teaching cause and effect in God's name. How to get something from God. And if you know how to get in any area of your life, then that becomes the greatest enemy of faith and mercy. You see that? If you know how to do something, you know this is this. And the only reason you know how to do anything is because you've limited your parameters. You understand that? You can prove anything as long as your parameters are sufficiently limited. That's what science is based on, the existence of linear time. If you remove that as a parameter, then science falls apart. And that's what high energy physics and cosmology is doing. They're removing time. And what do they find? Chaos. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's go to Lamentations. Right after Jeremiah. My Bible is all torn up. And
do your pages actually stick together?
They stick together.
Yeah.
Wow. Shut up.
What's new size?
Wild guess.
Just shut up.
This is all torn up too. This one's all torn up too. Missing a page here and there.
Well, we ought to dump it then.
By the time you go on vacation, bring a Bible back. That's what I do. I've been supplying them for years.
Going to the motels.
Placed by the Gideons. Right on, right on.
At least somebody gets some use out of them.
Yeah.
Lamentations.
Yeah, just, have you ever read Lamentations?
Yeah.
Very
lamentable.
Just go to verse 21.
121?
No, chapter 421.
421.
Have to read on with Brother Jim.
Let's go to that.
Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, who dwellest in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass through unto thee. Thou shalt be drunken and shall make thyself naked. The punishment of thine iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no more carry thee away unto captivity. He will visit thine iniquity, O daughter of Edom, and will discover thy sins. Now, Edom is just a type of the flesh. So as long as you're still living in the flesh, i.e., if you haven't accepted your, some of you have more flesh than others, but it, that's not important. It's, even Pete, is in this little bit of flesh, is living in the flesh. Anyway. All right, let's go on down to, let's go to Habakkuk. Start verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth, and evil covetethness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and established a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the Lord shall be filled with the knowledge.
Earth shall be filled.
What?
You said the Lord shall be filled. It says the earth shall, in my Bible it says the earth shall be filled.
I'm sorry. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters over the sea. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look upon their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. In other words, you shall get so drunk on the wine of self-seeking that your vomit shall be your glory. All right. Zechariah, chapter 12. That's just a couple pages over. No, that's not the guy. I want to get to Revelation. Go to Revelation 14. or 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And I said this the other morning in morning Bible study. We read this verse for another reason, but can you, I mean, God didn't leave the preaching of the gospel to a bunch of idiots like us. But what he left to us is making disciples. That's a different thing. Amen? Preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of waters. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without measure into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, every man has received the mark in his forehead and in his right hand. You understand that? Because that's the fruit of the curse. The only way that is dealt with is by your death. And that's the predicate of all Christianity, is your death. And that's not taught, unfortunately. Anyway, again, we have the cup. Now let's go to Revelation 16. Verse 17. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake, so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, and every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail. The plague thereof was exceeding great. Now the plague of hail, and again in the plagues in Exodus, the hailstones, it says also in Exodus that they were a talent, one talent. A talent was 97 pounds.
100 pound hailstones.
97.
Yeah.
Now, this hail, I mean, hail, you can't even imagine that, but the hail, with that size of hail, it would create so much friction coming through the air that it would have the appearance of fire on the hail. But the purpose of the hail that you've all experienced was to destroy your refuge of lies. Now, we don't have to, we won't experience that hail physically, but every man experiences it spiritually. And do you understand how much of your life has been based on lies? it's not just the people that are obvious. You believed the lies of society. We've talked about it. The lies that are taught. The fatherhood of God. The brotherhood of man. Free will. All those are lies that you've accepted. But for you, I hope and pray that the 97-pound hailstones have destroyed that refuge of lies. So there's the reason that it destroys the refuge of lies is so that you will know the fear of God. Because otherwise, you will create anything other than the fear of God. All right?
What's that last reference again? Revelation chapter?
16.
17.
17. No, it was 16, 9, 19. Didn't I just say that? Isn't that what we just read? Yeah.
16, 9? I thought you said
16, 19. No, that's not right. Where did I just read?
Yeah, you read. You got it right there, 221.
You read 16, 19, yeah. Well, I think you started at 18.
Yeah.
No, you started at 17, because remember you said the seventh angel poured out his vial.
Yeah. 17 through 21. 16, 17 through 21.
All right.
Now we're in chapter 17. Now, remember, chapter 17 is the doom of Babylon predicted. Chapter 18 is the fall of Babylon. And chapter 17 now, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which is the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk. Excuse me. I swallowed wrong. With the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-covered beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, as you remember, we talked about that that golden cup. It's golden because it contains everything that man desires. I can't emphasize that enough. But it's the wine of her fornication. Because God wants his people not to desire. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he wants you to live in that moment of dependence without the lusts of the flesh running you down every dead-end street in the universe. Amen. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. This is why on the Feast of Passover, between Passover and Pentecost, there's a ceremony called the Counting of the Omer. And it's 49 days you count from the Feast of First Fruits until the day of Pentecost. And it's 7 weeks of seven, the 49. And the purpose of the counting of the Omer, excuse me, and if you didn't complete the count in ancient times, you couldn't partake of Pentecost. So they had these elaborate Omer counting calendars so that it would be impossible for them to forget. But the mystery of it is that purpose of it was to come out of the 49 gates of impurity of the world. But those 49 gates of impurity, every one of them was something that you thought was good. And this is And so that's why, you know, when you hear people preach and they use the allurement of trying to get somebody to believe so they could get something that the world admires, it is a stench before God. Because you're teaching people to partake of those 49 gates of impurity, or what's in that cup of the wrath of fornication. And that's what's so sad. And unfortunately, this isn't taught that I know of. What? All right. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Not admiration like it, but wonderment. And the angel said unto me, where dost thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath seven heads and seven horns. Having seven heads and ten horns. I was reading ahead without finishing the sentence. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. And again, here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and the seven mountains are the seven mountains of your mind, the seven high places. And that was typified in Israel. That's why she had to overcome the seven tribes of Canaan. And the last one to be taken was the Jebusites. And it says of the Jebusites that they remain until this day. And what the Jebusites represented, that high place activity, was hope. And as long as you have hope, then you'll find the life of your own hand. You understand that? If you have, the word hope is never used in the New Testament outside of the resurrection of Christ in you. Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Okay? So here, I just wanted to get to that place. We only should have stopped at verse 4, but I wanted to get down to here's wisdom. And go back to, I want to show you another one where here wisdom. Go to Revelation 13. Verse 18. Here is wisdom. But him that hath understanding, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And the number is 666. It's the number of all men and all women. I'm sorry.
No, but it's not the number of a beast or a dog or a bull or a devil or a spirit or a little Diablo with the, like you say, with the horns. It's the number of
man. All right, let's look at one more. In verse 18, chapter 18, I mean. Revelation. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived delicately or deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and so she no sorrow. Isn't that what the prosperity gospel says? I shall see no suffering. Suffering's outside the will of God.
The king's kid.
All right. That's enough of the cup. Let's at least start on the next one. Everybody go to your star maps a minute.
Is this Corvus?
This is Corvus. Now you notice that with the look again at the cup, that it shares two stars with Hydra. And so now what the Corvus is intimately connected, it's grasping the serpent.
Right.
And it's in some of the maps its beak is open and it's tearing the flesh of the serpent.
And the eye, the star of the eye, it's hard for me to see, but I'm sure it says Al-Chazar.
Chabar.
Oh. Chazar.
Good try. Missed it by that much.
Well, it's better, it's Al-Chiz is what it's...
That's what he would say. Yeah. He was trying to claim that.
I know.
Thank you for that.
Well, he wasn't, he didn't say Chizbar. He said Chiba.
Melchizedek. Okay. Thank you, Judge.
Why do you laugh at other people's remarks?
Because sometimes they're funny. I'm easily amused, I guess.
All right.
I had a lecture with these two about that. Not laughing at it, but feeling superior because of someone else's demise.
Well, sometimes it's, you know, somebody paints a target on them and says, shoot me here. I think that's funny. I mean, I've done it often enough. Shoot me right here, right here.
Have you ever stopped doing it?
No, I never do. I gotta think it's funny.
Are you married, Tom?
Yes. Been that way for 29 years. All right, enough of this levity. Let's get back. Maintain control.
Corvus is the raven. It's the last decan of the last sign. And so it has some, just as Coma was the first decan of the first sign that had great revelation. So does the last decan of the last sign have great revelation. And so let's just look at some of the major things first. Hebrew, the name of it is Oreb, which means the raven. In Egypt, the sign's name is Herna. Her means the enemy, and Na means broken or falling. It means, so the translation would be the enemy falling. And that's in the Egyptian. Somebody go to, you might as well go to your magic little evil Antichrist Bibles and read Proverbs 30:17.
30:17?
Yeah.
Proverbs 30:17.
There's one verse. I could have gotten my Bible faster than that.
The eye that mocketh at his father and despises or to obey his mother.
I asked, is your name Nick?
You didn't say anybody. You just said somebody go and read.
With the evil machines.
When you talk to evil machines,
evil one,
you
with the
talk
evil
about
one,
me.
With the evil one, with the evil one, read.
The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it.
Okay. Now, the question is, who is the mother and father? The scriptures say, call no man on earth father, and they imply up over and over, call no woman on earth mother. So how do you despise or mock the father and the mother?
The church,
true mothers in Jerusalem, our father is God. So how do you mock what does it say? Mock the father?
The eye that mocked the father. His father.
And despiseth the mother.
To obey, yes.
How do you mock the father?
Probably saying you exist, or setting yourself up for God.
Well, let's just assume that that's what it's talking about, which I think it is. That it's talking about mocking God in some way. So the ways we mock God are legion. But as we become believers, the way we mock God becomes more and more subtle. And the more that we are given, the easier it is for us to mock God. The more that we've heard, the mocking becomes more and more subtle. Now, this is the danger of Revelation. For whom much is given, much is required. And so, mocking to a Gentile would, obviously just not believing. And that's what the Holy Spirit is convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not in him. And so that's the biggest mock. And so that's easy. But can you see the subtlety of the ways we mock him as his children? We mock him by not forgiving others. We mock him by holding grudges for any reason. We mock him by being offended at anything. We mock him by the legion. So, the purpose of this last, just as the purpose of the first decan of the first sign was to show us the revelation of Christ, the purpose of the last decan of the last sign is to show us the fear of God. That's probably a good place to stop.
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
The raven is tearing, in some of the maps, she said the raven is tearing the flesh of the serpent, of the hydra. But are they both?
Now remember, the hydra is a feminine name. So it's just another look at the whore of Babylon.
Yeah, the male version is Hydrox, which is why those cookies are so evil.
What was that last